How many have heard that song, "I Run to Christ"? Those are great songs that we need him. I would like to think that I just am there with Christ and don't have to leave what I'm doing and go after him. I hope I'm there. Does that make sense? What a great truth. These songs make us think about who God is, what he's doing, why he's doing it. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them at this time and turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're getting to the end of the book of Philippians. It's coming to a close. I know we have preached on I can do all things, but what it isn't, and this morning, Lord willing, I can explain of what he's talking about when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A believer that is content in all things can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, well, where is that in the scripture? I don't see a believer that is content in all things. Well, if you look at the previous verses 11 and 12, you will find very clearly that Paul was content no matter if he was poor, no matter if he was weak, no matter if he was stoned, no matter, and I mean literally stoned, no matter what circumstance he found himself in, he was content in the Lord. This morning, there were more than a handful of people told me, what a beautiful day. I wonder if it was dreary, raining, thundering, and lightning, and the wind was 20 miles an hour, would we say the same thing? No. Why? Because we're not content. Whatever God has for us. You can't control the weather. You can't control what people do to you. We need to be content always in every aspect of our life. Paul could endure all that the depraved world could throw at him. A lack of food, we find in verses 10 through 12 there, a lack of food, a lack of means, persecutions, beating, nowhere to rest. Whether the cruel world of natural struggles or the depravity of humankind attacks, Paul was completely content. He was okay. He was continuing to rejoice in the Lord. I bet there are days in your life and in my life where we get up and we're not so content and we're certainly not joyous. And the reason that is we lost sight of who God is and what he's done and why he's done it. We constantly lose sight of him and we let our flesh steer our lives. Folks, that's what the world's doing. That's not what a believer should be doing. Amen? Why was Paul content in humankind attacks, natural struggles, beatings, persecutions, lack of means, lack of food? He was content because his sufficiency came through Christ. Christ was all sufficient to him. He didn't need anything else. Paul was a believer. After leading a mob to murder Stephen for preaching the gospel, God met Paul on the way to Damascus, and Paul's heart was open to the gospel. Now, I love to say God opens our minds and opens our eyes to the truth. But in Paul's case, God opened his heart because his eyes were closed. He was blind because he saw the risen Christ. Regardless, God opened his heart to the gospel. The gospel that states that Jesus died on the cross so that Paul's sins, including the murder of Stephen, could be atoned for or paid for by Christ's death on the cross. So if Paul would repent and believe that Christ alone had paid his penalty on the cross, and by faith trust in Jesus alone for Paul's only hope of forgiveness and eternal presence with the Lord is the cross of Jesus Christ. That was his only hope. Isn't it interesting that here's Jesus Christ? Again, this is amazing to me. Here's Stephen being stoned to death. The Bible tells us that Christ is standing, waiting for Stephen to embrace him, in essence. Now, if that was your friend, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, what would you want to happen to that guy that's responsible for doing that? Do you know what God did? From the text, we can see it was immediately he went to Damascus to go kill more. And what did God do? He saved him. He gave him eternal life. This murdering, coward, religious bigot. And that's what he was. As Saul, God saved him. There's too many people think, well, my bad sins, there's just too many of them. Listen, then you don't know God. God forgives all sins. Amen. The only unforgivable sin is the rejection of Jesus Christ. And here's Paul, a murderer, going on a rampage to kill more in Damascus. And what does the Lord do? He saves him. Paul trusted in Christ. For Paul's deserving of eternal damnation, God saved him by his grace. And Christ's death on the cross paid Paul's penalty for his sins that he too might be with Christ forever. What a great truth that is. Paul would be eternally saved. Paul trusted in Christ for his payment of his sins. And at that moment, Christ's righteousness was placed on Paul's account. And Paul's sins were put on Christ's account. Therefore, when Paul met God, Christ said, "My blood was shed for you. Welcome to your eternal home." Immediately following the murder of God's servant Stephen. Let's just be honest. None of us are like that. It's because we don't know God as well as we should. Because if we had God's heart, we would be like that. Because that's who God is. To me, it blows my mind. I mean, if someone did that myself, I won't even tell you. I don't want this on all over the air. But I'm sure you have those thoughts too. I'll take care of it. No. God will take care of it. You are not. I am not God. There's only one God. And he is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great truth this sets up. Paul, after his salvation, we find that he writes many times this concept of resting in Christ, joyous in Christ, no matter if he was shipwrecked, no matter if he was stoned and left for dead, no matter if he was bitten by a snake, no matter what they did to him, they were plotting to kill him in Jerusalem. It didn't matter. I need to preach the gospel. They threw him in jail multiple times. What did he do? Praise God for it. Why? Because his total contentment, his total love, his total ambitions, all of his desires were for God with no distractions. Wow. The concept of entering into this restful existence in God, we see in Hebrews chapters 3 through 4. We either trust ourselves to save ourselves, or we trust God to do that for us, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. By failing to trust God fully in his promises, we become disobedient and fail to enter the rest of his eternal life. Just as the children of Israel became disobedient when they failed to enter the promised land. What is it about this salvation that changes our lives completely? Yes, it brings eternal life. How many would say amen to that? Yes, it brings us forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord for that. But what else does it do? It changes your life. True faith works. How many understand that? Too many times we get this idea that we don't talk about works. Works, works. No, no, no. We just talk about grace. The purpose of grace is works. Ephesians chapter 2. Saved by grace. Unto what? For the purpose of what? God wants ambassadors in this world. You are them if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When Paul trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior and rest, not only here, content, but rest in eternal glory became Paul's destiny. Paul's sins were placed on Christ, and Christ's righteousness was placed on Paul. Paul no longer would pay for eternal penalty for murdering Stephen, nor persecuting the Christians, nor forsaking the Jesus that had died for him, which he had. Jesus paid it all. Therefore, Paul could accurately state to the church in Corinth, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have received from God, that you are not your own?" There's a song that just went right through my head. I can't believe I even thought of that song when I was there. "Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone. I don't care what you say anymore, this is..." Yeah, you know the song. I have no idea who wrote that song. Okay. But that's what... Let me ask you. This is my life? Leave me alone? That's anti-godly. It's anti-Christian. This isn't my life, leave me alone. It's his life. Let me serve him. We've been bought with a price. What does that mean? The slave market, right? You bought that slave. You are totally his, whoever bought you. Which way do we fall in this Christianity of ours in America? You said it's Billy Joel. Okay, the Billy Joel idea or God's idea? God's idea is that this is no longer my life, it's his. And I owe everything to him. I am his slave, his under-rower slave. The worst of the worst, that's the idea. How, I'll quote P.J. Fleck, but in a biblical way, we should be rowing the boat. How many understand that term? We should be rowing the boat. An underslave was under there. All he did was do this. That's the slave God wants us to be. This is what Paul, was Paul that? Paul was all that. Absolutely. Not only did he talk about you're not your own, you're bought with a price. As a result that you've been bought with a price, what does the text in 2 Corinthians say? Therefore, honor God with our bodies. Serve him. That's what we're here for. Folks, how many understand, especially after all the nonsense that's going on, people need to have a purpose in life. Absolutely, we need a purpose in life. You have one if you're a believer. You have a purpose in life. What is that purpose of life? In everything you do, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Everything. Honor God with our bodies. Then he goes on in Galatians. He said to the Galatia, churches in Galatia, he said this. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Did you know that the third person on the cross was Paul? No, that's not what he's saying. What does he mean, I've been crucified with Christ? My life is not mine anymore. It's his. That's what he means. I am crucified with Christ. And then he explains it. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen and amen and amen. Amen? That's our purpose in life. Glorify him. And I will tell you, if your business on this earth to glorify him, your family will glorify him. Your church will glorify him. Your life will glorify him in your workplace, and others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. There's something different about you. Listen, this whole world, the whole world is buzzing about Charlie Kirk. Why? They saw his life, and what made, and I've heard this question so often this last week. What made him do that? Why is he like that? He loved God. That's why. If we have run to Christ and have embraced Jesus as the only one who can take your sins away, give you a clean heart, and help you grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ by walking worthy of the gospel, walk as if the King of Kings loves you. Do you know why? He does. Walk as if the King of Kings cares for you. Why? Because he does. Why should we walk as if the King of Kings loves us and cares for us and will never leave us nor forsake us? Because he won't. Let's just be honest. We as Americans seek happiness in way many, all the distractions of this world. Where am I going to find my joy next? The joy is in the text. It's Jesus. He is our joy. Remember Peter very clearly. I have no greater. Was it Peter? John, I'm sorry. I have no greater joy. So, I mean, for this man, it was the greatest joy he'd ever encouraged, ever seen, than to see that my children walk in truth. There's going to be a time when your child swears. We're not going to be joyous about that. But hopefully there's also a time where they come to you and say, Mom, Dad, Jesus is my Savior and Lord, and I love him. And our heart will just burst with joy. Amen? There's no greater joy than that. 1 Timothy, Paul states of his conversion, Paul states his conversion this way, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Wow. Is that showing the world what Paul was, but what he is now because of God's grace? Folks, we are living, as you were born, you are living in the what Paul was. Well, I never killed anybody. You were a sinner bound for hell. But Christ, but God, Ephesians 2, rich in mercy, saved you, opened your eyes, opened your ears, opened your heart to God. And you're part of his family if you have trusted in him. That text that goes on, it says, I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners of what? Of whom, Paul, I am chief. If we don't recognize that even though we're a believer, we're still sinners, we have a problem. We need him every hour. Remember that song that's sung in almost every older person's funeral? I need thee every hour. It's absolutely true. I need thee every hour. Of course Paul can write, I can do all things. Why? Because Christ is sufficient. He's sufficient to supply your needs if you're down. He's sufficient to humble us when we're up. He is all sufficient. It's not that I can do everything I want to do. That's not the issue at all. I can rest in any circumstance because God is my strength. There's someone that did that already in the Old Testament. Can anybody remember his name? He wrote a whole chapter on it. I'll give you his name. His name is David. Psalm chapter 139. Do you remember that psalm? O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Oof. How many of you are excited about that? No. You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. How many just love and just are full of joy that God knows everything about us? He does. And if you're his, he absolutely loves you. It goes on. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? There's nowhere I can hide, in other words. You're always there. You're always present. Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, what? You're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn and I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not too dark for you. As the night is as bright as the day, the darkness and the light are alike to you. You know, I'll be honest with you. I had a hard time with that one growing up. You ever been out in the My family is from Grand Rapids, and then one of them, my grandfather, moved to Brainerd area, way north, little town called Ossipee. You ever heard of Ossipee? It's a really big town. It has two buildings. My great-grandfather started the building. He started the town. He named the town after the town he was from in Ossipee, France. The point of the matter is, there's nobody there. And we would drive all the way. We grew up in Rochester, drove all the way there to Grandma and Grandpa's house, pulled in the driveway, pitch black. We get all of our stuff in, and Grandma invariably would look at me. Tim, can you go get the mail? It's dark out there. There's no street lights. There's no nothing. I was scared to death. Even when I was 16, I'll be honest with you, I really didn't enjoy that. But it made my grandma happy. And I learned, because it was a long driveway, you know, not super long, but probably 150 yards. I'd get out of the house, and this is what I'd start doing. Okay, which song do I sing now? And I'd sing at the top of my lungs, a quarter of a mile from Ossipee Church. I love you, Lord. Jesus loves me. Whatever it has on my tongue. And I ran as fast as I could, got the mail, turned around, and went back as fast as I could because there were bears up there. And there were Native Americans up there that I was scared of, which my grandmother, she was. You know what? If I'm a child of him, there needs to be no fear. The only fear we need is who? The fear of the Lord. I was scared to death to walk in the dark. But am I scared enough to repent and believe? Do I really have a true fear of God? Some people, and I agree, the text is very clear. Fear can be described as the awe of God. But if you really understand who God is, and you really get who you are, there's some scary fear there. How many get that? We shouldn't just dismiss it as, I'm afraid. Well, the demons are afraid. They tremble at the sound of his voice. The whole world will bow before him in total humility. He is God. And so this idea that the dark is okay because you're there too. Wonderful are your works. I missed one here. I'm sorry. Darkness and the light are alike to you. For you formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. When was God not with you? I will give you thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book are written the days that were ordained for me. In that, I'll finish the last five statements soon. But in that very statement and the one just above it, folks, he knew you before and he'll know you afterwards. And if you're his, you will always be his. He will comfort and keep you. He will be there. How many seen the I think I never watched this movie, but Simba, did anybody know who Simba was? See, I only get this all wrong, but all you kids know who I'm talking about. So in that movie, remember this little tiny lion cub went out there in front of somebody and rawr, rawr, you know, the little rear. And what happens to the people he faces? They run, are scared to death. Why? Because the lion is behind him. It is not wrong to believe and understand that if you are a believer, the greatest, most important King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lion of Judah is behind you. And you can, with confidence and boldness, with grace and mercy, be truthful to everyone. Because you're standing as an ambassador of him. And he's got your back. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The days that were ordained for me. Isn't it interesting that we try to make sure our lives live longer as if God's not in charge? Now, it's good to be healthy. Corey's not here to scream amen. But it's good to be healthy, amen. Not saying that. But our days are numbered. God has a time of our birth and the time of our death, and they're all set. And you cannot manipulate his sovereignty. Anybody who came up with the Fountain of Youth never read Scripture. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet was not one of them, there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If you should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Do you realize what he just said there? God's thoughts about you would outnumber the sand. Oh! Some of us don't even know our sons and daughters' birthdays. But God knows everything. And his thoughts outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. David was saying, in essence, the same thing Paul is saying in Philippians. Paul was saying, no matter what the world or foe throw at me, I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because he's with me always. If I find myself on the top of the world with its riches, you are there. If I find myself in the deepest gorge of wickedness and sorrow, you are there. Paul, in the previous verse, clearly expresses what I can do all things means. Verse 11, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. And by the way, that's harder. So what are you talking about? If money was not an object, man, I'd be free to give the gospel. You wouldn't give the gospel. You'd want to get more. If you're not giving the gospel where you're at now, what's going to change except a heart for God that's greater than it is now? In any and every circumstance, do you see this? Any, ever, and then all things. This is what he's talking about. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Then he rolls right into, I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. That does not mean I can go and build an Empire State Building. It means I can be content in every single situation. And because of the sufficiency of Christ, I can say, no matter what the world throws at me, I'm content. I can do it all. Because Christ is sufficient. Christ is all. So when Paul says he can do all things, one author states it this way. What he is saying is that when he reached the limit of his resources and strength, even to the point of death, he was infused with the strength of Christ. He could overcome the most dire physical difficulties because of the inner spiritual strength God had given him. Does that make sense? It's not about building things. It's not about... Yeah. Some of us, and here's the idea, some of us think the internet has made everybody an awesome contractor or an awesome mechanic because you can find anything there. You can do it all. No, you can't. That's not what it's saying. It's because Christ is my Lord and Savior, he will strengthen me to live this life as he chooses. And he's sufficient to strengthen me, to help me. Paul was strong enough to endure anything through him who strengthened him. That's found in 2 Timothy. At my first defense, the text says, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And by the way, there's a reason people weren't with supporting him and strengthening him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Folks, you could say this. Paul was saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No matter if someone yells at me, no matter if someone screams at me, no matter if they even want to kill me, I can still give them the gospel. In essence, that's what he's saying. We shouldn't be afraid of that. But are we? Are we afraid of giving the gospel to people? Let me ask you this. When is the last time you gave somebody the gospel? And I will tell you this, the more you share Christ, the better it's going to get. The Lord encouraged, I've been working on this sermon, and one day this week, it was like, okay, prove it, Tim. How many understand? Prove it, Tim. A person came to me and said, hey, I don't know what faith is, and I don't know what God is, but there's something in me that I need to ask you to help me know those things. What? What are you talking about? Okay, I got it. I don't open my mouth enough. Tim, I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you someone right in front of you to question you. Are you going to have the answers? Are you going to be afraid? Or are you going to stand for the truth? How many would love that to happen? Every day. Would we grow in our faith? Oh, yeah. Isaiah gave us hints of this strength to fight another day, to give the gospel, and that's what I mean, and we'll get to that in a second. Because we're fighting not people, we're fighting what? Principalities of this air. That's the war. It's not against people. People don't know. At one time, you were a sinner, not saved by grace, totally depraved, didn't know God until someone shared Scripture with you. Look how it changed your life. Don't you want everybody to know that? Isaiah says it this way, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not become weary. I will tell you this, Isaiah sounds a lot like Paul in that text. Because they're saying the same thing. As we are in this race, fighting for the Lord, gracefully, mercifully, giving the truth, we can do it all because he's got our back. He's there with us. He's sufficient to help us be the ambassador he wants us to be. That's what this word is talking about. This was a common theme. I can do all things through Christ. It was a common theme of Paul that he was a sinner saved by grace and empowered to fight for the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. None of us here are not weak. We're all weak. God uses our weaknesses to proclaim his greatness. Amen? What a great truth that is. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what? Then I'm strong. Because it's not in my flesh that I'm doing this. It's his strength I'm relying on. Amen? That's the whole point. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. You might mutilate it. And you'll think, oh man, what's Tim going to say? And there's three of us, so I'm not going to say which one. What are they going to say? I was told, oh, did I mess that up? Do better next time. Learn from it and do it again. I hear nobody saying amen. Come on. None of us have the pearl tongue. We're going to get things wrong. I will tell you, have verses memorized so you can at least quote them. Because that won't be wrong. And if you can't think of what to say, quote a verse. God will help. He will strengthen you. He did Paul, and this is what he's telling you. Don't shrink. Be bold with grace. You can do this. That's what he's saying. You can do this. The same power Paul is resting in, confident in, content in, has been given to all those who believe. Ephesians chapter 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? Within us. Do you believe that verse or not? Is God working within us? Absolutely. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. To him. So, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. God is mightily glorified when in our weakness we stand boldly before the world as a witness of his greatness. God is mightily glorified when in our weakness, and how many have ever gone calling with someone else? A couple of you? Three of you? That's a good practice. Why? Man, what you can't remember, they probably can. You encourage each other and help each other by and share the gospel together. What a great truth and help that is. That's why there's a church. We're not lone rangers here. God is mightily glorified when in our weakness we stand boldly before the world as a witness of his greatness. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I might butcher this, but we have the Bible to go back and correct what I'm trying to say. But God wants you to know that if you trust him, if you have faith in him, you too can be saved. That he died on the cross for you. He rose again the third day. That's why we celebrate Easter. These aren't hard truths. They need to know why Jesus did that. He died for their sin, if they will just believe. Amen? By the way, how many of you here are sinners like me? You know what? It's okay to tell people that you're a sinner. Because we are. Those are truths. Some people have asked me, well, how can I give the gospel? Just give them your testimony. Give them your testimony. It's that simple. I was sinner. I just cringe at what I was and what I still do today because I fight with this. But do you know what? Jesus said, I will forgive you. I will give you eternal salvation if you will only repent and believe in me. It's not about our works. It's about grace. It's about faith. Again, I will read it one more time. I think this is so important. God is mightily glorified when in our weakness we stand boldly before the world as a witness of his greatness. This, I can do all things through Christ, does not mean I defeat God's enemies. Christ does that. It does not mean fight, fight, fight like we hear in the political realm. No, no, no. Here's what we do. We love, love, love. We serve, serve, serve. We give, give, give. Does that make sense? We'll say, well, who's going to stand up for truth? I'm not saying don't stand up for truth. But this idea of fight, fight, fight is not the idea that Christ was talking about. We love them, so we give them the truth. We serve them, so we open the truth. We give to them and help them know who Jesus is because they need that. Amen. All these nuclear warheads and machine guns and bombs and whatever else they have, none of those things will work. Christ will do more than any of those ever will. He will change people's hearts. You see, we become like Jesus. Do you remember this Jesus who said, you know, if we just get Nero saved, then everything's going to change? Well, he didn't say that. If we just change these laws, and I'm going to get involved here and involved here so that we can. No, no, no. He came to die for us. And what did he do? He died for us. He came to share the love of God to the world. And guess what he did? He shared the love of God to the world by being obedient to God the Father. We become like Jesus. We love people. We serve them. We help them, give to them so that they may see Christ. We saturate our hearts and minds with his truth. We become more and more like him. We obey him. We meditate upon him. Our whole lives desire to please him. If we concentrate on Jesus, we will love and serve others as he did. And we too can do all things through Christ. But those all things start with us loving others, serving others, helping others, learning about God, saturating ourselves in the Word. Until we do that, we can't do anything. We have to be fully committed, fully surrendered. Does this make sense? God's going to use you anyway. Why not be all in? Does that make sense? Meditate upon him. Our whole life is to please him. If we concentrate on Christ, if we focus on him, we will love and serve others as he did. And we too can do all things through Christ. Our life is his. Let me ask you this. Do we look and live as though we are servants of the King of Kings? Do we look and live as though we are servants of the King? That's a really difficult question that every one of us need to ask every day. Paul did. He was beaten for it. He was stoned for it. He was shipwrecked for it. He was beheaded for it. But he rejoiced in his entire life. Here's a newsflash. We're all human. Our days are numbered. We are going to die. Do we die for him or do we die for self? That is the question. Paul died to himself and lived for Christ. Therefore, he could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth him. So, let me ask you, do we take this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, do we take it totally out of context many times? Yeah. I can do all things for the Lord who strengthens me. That's kind of the idea. Complete self-abandonment to Christ's glory will bring rejoicing contentment. This is a phrase I want you to know well. Complete self-abandonment to Christ's glory will bring rejoicing contentment of your entire life. How many have ever heard of restless people? They just can't get enough of something, whatever that is. They're restless. No believer should ever be restless. We should be absolutely content because God's got it all. Amen? He's got it all. Okay, Pastor. What did Paul look like? His life as a content believer. What did it look like? Well, look at the text, verse 14. We're not going to preach it today. We're almost done here. But let's read it ahead of time. Would you say that Paul was saying he rejoiced in everything? Yes or no? Absolutely. Does that mean he was content in every situation God put him in? He said he was. Absolutely. And it's because of that he could do all things through Christ. It didn't matter. That's the whole point of that. Okay, then what did the rest of his life look like? What did he talk about? What did he say? What did he do? Well, let's look at verses 14 through 19 as we close. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift before then, more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I will tell you this. My God will supply all my needs. How many have heard that? How many believe that? It's absolutely true. Just like I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, my God will supply all my needs is also taken out of context. Because today it means God will give me whatever I want if I just believe hard enough. That's not what that text is saying. Matter of fact, what this text is saying is, if you would indulge with me, please, in those five verses, Paul is focused on them, not himself. You see, a committed life is a content life, and all you care about is others. And Paul shows it right here, does he not? I think "you" is used like 8 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it's 7 or 8 times. He's talking about them. How many conversations, and this is for next week, okay? We're not going to preach through this. But next week we are. I pray you understand that complete abandon to Christ brings a content life. That's the truth today. Next week, that content life cares and focuses on others. Now, we do that by saying, "How are you today?" Well, that just rolls off our tongue. It's not even, are we really asking it? Let me ask you, if someone starts telling you all the things, are you like, "That's not what I expected"? It's just, hi, how are you? Okay, now we can talk about me. Or are you done talking about you because I want to talk about me? That's not what believers do. And when someone comes into the conversation, it's all about them, it's all about their hunting experience, their shopping experience, their whatever. Try to bring it back to, let's talk about you. I want to help you somehow. Because that's what our life should be about. Amen? Folks, people are dying and going to hell every single day. You have the truth that will save them. Are you giving that truth? Are you concerned about them? Most people are sitting back waiting for the rapture. Most Christians. When we should be on foot caring for those that are in need of the Savior. Do you see the difference? Now, can both be true? I think sitting waiting back for the rapture is not. I don't like those words. Actively anticipating the rapture. Those are better words. Be outspoken for God. I don't remember if I told you this or not, but we have, I'm becoming friends, and I hope we can continue to become friends with this man, but he told me a story that he was in a grocery store, and this woman was using the Lord's name in vain in the other aisle. How many love it when people use the Lord's name in vain? Most Christians will go, "Would you stop that? That is so bad." Well, hold it. Before you start looking at other people, their sins, look at your own. Just saying. Instead, he went up to this person and said, Hey, what are we singing? Because I heard the Lord's name. And we must be singing praise and worship songs to him. What song are we going to sing? Amen? And then he goes on and starts talking, and I'm not going to get this perfect. But because we know we shouldn't be using the Lord's name in vain. So I'm sure we're going to have praise and worship right here in Walmart. We need praise and worship right here in Walmart. Regardless, have you ever just randomly talked about God to somebody? I don't see this happening. We're too comfortable in the church pew, and we're extremely uncomfortable outside where we're supposed to be giving the gospel. That's a bad thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's true, how many would say amen, that is true? It's talking about pleasing God everywhere. And you can. But if you're shutting your mouth and not walking worthy of the gospel, you're failing. You are not believing that text. It's about being bold. No matter what. Because God's got all of it. He's sovereign. His providence is totally sure. And there's nothing or no one who will thwart that. What do we got to lose? Isn't that what Paul said? What do we got to lose? Well, they might not like me. Today it's like this. They didn't put thumbs up on my post. They said I was wrong. Maybe you are. Unless you're quoting scripture, it's very possible. The point is, it's not about people's feelings. It's about the truth of the word, and they need the Lord. They're going to die in their sin, and you were their neighbor for 30 years. That's a problem. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's my encouragement to myself. And you, prove it. Prove that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How many understand that? Prove it. Mr. Gaiman, can you close in prayer, please?
After we're dismissed here in just a moment, after I pray, we will be having our noon meal together, so we'll head over to Ryan Park and enjoy that time together and enjoy the nice weather, right? Please stand, let me pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the power of your word here in Philippians and that we have a very clear application for us. I pray we would be bold and be faithful and be content in all you've provided. In Jesus' name, amen.